We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Nedarim. We are up to Daf Lamed Vav on the top line. This limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Reuven ben David, Yosef ben Tamara, Harav Shalom Kohen ben Tfacha, Yair ben Tova, Naim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Et Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Dvora, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also, לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרעון יצחק בן ברינה, אברהם בן אביבה, משה בן חנה, יוחאי בן ברוריה, אסתר בת שרה, גרס טובה בת חנה, אלישבע בת נטע, חנה בת סוליקה, גבריאלה מסעודה בת שרה. The Gemara here is in the midst of discussing the question that was posed on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, whether the Kohanim who take care of the Avodat HaKorbanot in the Bet HaMikdash, do they act as Shluchei Didan, as our agents, as our shluchim, or are they shluchei dishmaya? Are they the agents of Hashem? And the Gemara said, the nafkamina, the difference is regarding if the person is mudar hana'a from the kohen, if the kohen acts as a shaliach for him, so he cannot take care of korbanot for him. If he is not his shaliach, rather he's shluchei shaliach dishmaya, then he would be able to perform korbanot for him. And then the Gemara spoke about the exception to that, which is korbanot that are for the purpose only of kapara. Then, in that case, even if the person, if the Yisrael is a mudar hana'a from the Kohen is able to perform the korban, the service of his korban, which is for kapara, such as a korban chatat and a korban asham, being that this type of a korban can be done even without the consent of the owner of the korban, of the Israel. So therefore he's not acting on his behalf, so he's not violating the neder, even if you say that kohanim shluchei didan. So now the Gemara on the top line of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph is going to ask a question on one of the opinions. Mativ Rav Shimi Bar Abba. Rav Shimi Bar Abba is going to ask on the one that holds that kohanim shluchei didan, that the kohanim are our shluchim. If you say that, then there is a question Rav Shimi Bar Abba asks from a braita. It states in a braita, a person who was madir his friend behana'a, he prohibited his friend from having hana'a from him. Im haya kohen, if the one who made the neder is a kohen, yizrok alav dam chatato vedam ashamo, the kohen can still do zrikat adam. He can sprinkle the blood of the Israel's korban chatat or his korban asham and to do all the services of the korban. So now, what do we see from here? That the kohanim are shluchim of shamayim. Because if they are shluchim, if they are agents of the person who's bringing the korban, so then the kohen, how could he do the zrikat adam for the mudar? After all, the mudar is now having hana'a from his shlichut. The Gemara answers, it's not a proof. You can say the Braita is talking about dam chatato shel metzora v'dam ashamo shel metzora, talking specifically about the zrikat adam, the sprinkling of the blood of the korban chatat that a metzora has to bring, and the korban asham that a metzora, a leper, has to bring as part of the procedure of his tahara, of his purity, where in those cases, regarding the dam chatat of the metzora and dam asham, dichtiv, it states, zot tiye torat ha-metzora. And from the word, zot tiye torat ha-metzora, we learn, ben gadol ben katan, whether the metzora is an adult, a katan, or if he's a minor, if he's underage bar mitzvah. Now, a katan doesn't have da'at. So what do we see? That you can bring this korban for him, even without his da'at, without his consent. So that's why the kohen can bring this korban for him, because he's doing it, he doesn't need to do it with the da'at, with the consent of the owner. And therefore, it's not considered like he's giving him any hana'a. So even if you say kohanim are normally shluchei didan, still, in this case, the reason why the braita says you're allowed, the kohen is allowed to do it for the mudar, is because we're talking specifically about dam chatat metzora, or dam asham metzora, which are korbanot that can be performed without the da'at of the person. So he's not his shaliach, Mimela is not violating the neder. The Gemara proceeds to give another proof from another source, Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Masechet Menachot, הכהנים שפיגלו במקדש. כהנים that were mefagel, they rendered the korban pigul in the Beit HaMikdash. That means that they sacrificed a korban intending to eat it at the wrong time. After the appointed time that is supposed to be the time of eating, the kohen sacrificed this korban with the intention to eat it after the appropriate time. That causes the korban to become pigul, to become disqualified. So now, mezidim chayavim. If they did so intentionally, if the kohanim did it intentionally, which means with full awareness of the time during which the korban has to be eaten, and yet despite that, they had in mind to eat it afterwards, chayavim, they're obligated to pay, because they rendered someone's korban pigul. Ha shogegim peturim. So now we infer from this, if they did so b'shogeg, unwittingly, it was by accident, so then they are patur from paying. Ela shepigulam pigul. However, in any event, still, they rendered the korban pigul, which means it acquired the status of pigul, and it's disqualified. So again, the Mishnah says, kohanim that were mefagel, if they did it b'mezid, they have to pay for it. Mashma, if they did it b'shogeg, they don't have to pay for it, but it's still pigul. So now, here we go. If you say that the Kohanim are agents of Shamayim, hainu shepigulam pigul, that's why their actions cause the Korban to become pigul. Their actions are independent of the one who's bringing the Korban, because they are not his shaliach, they are shaliach of Shamayim. So that's why they have the power with a wrong intention to be mefagel. But if you say that the Kohanim are our agents, meaning the one who brings the Korban, the Kohen is his shaliach, amai pigulan pigul. So why are the actions of the Kohen causing the Korban to become pigul? Let the person who brought the Korban, let the Yisrael say to the Kohen, shlicha shavetich, I made you my agent, my shaliach, letakone velo leavote. I made you my agent to perform the task properly, but not to perform the task improperly. So in other words, if a mistake was made and they had the wrong intention, why should that affect the korban? Meaning it does not become pikul because he's a shaliach of the Yisrael. So now, as a shaliach of the Yisrael, he can only do what the Yisrael allows. The Yisrael only appointed him as a shaliach to do what's right, not to make a mistake, and therefore it should not become pigul. From the fact that we derive from the Mishnah that it is a pigul, even though it was a unintentional wrong thought, that from here we see that they are shluche dishmaya. They're not shluche didan. They're not the shaliach of the Israel. The Gemara answers, no, it's not proof. Really, you could say shluche didan. They are our shluchim. Amri, we can answer, shane gabe pigul. It's different regarding the halakha of pigul. De amar kra, the pasuk says and emphasizes, lo yechashev lo. The one who brought the korban that had the wrong thought, lo yechashev lo, becomes a pigul, and it is not considered anything for him. Mikol makom, this extra word of lo yechashev lo, implies to us that it becomes pigul mikol makom in any case, which means even if one's actions cause the korban to be pigul without the consent of the owner, right? Meaning the kohen is the shaliach of the owner who brought the korban. Now there's no consent to make a mistake like that, but we see from the words lo yechashev lo that it still becomes a pigul even without the consent. So therefore, there's no proof regarding the fact that Kohanim are shluche dishmaya. It could very well be that they are shluche didan. Now the Gemara goes more into the matter itself that was quoted. Gufa, we quoted before, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Hakol tzichim da'at chutz mimechusar kapara. Everyone who brings a korban requires knowledge. That means requires to give his consent for the korban, chutz mimechusar kapara, except for those korbanot that are brought for kapara, because of lacking atonement. Sharei Adam, how do we prove this? Rabbi Yochanan says, Sharei Adam evi korban al banav ve al benotav haktanim. because a person can bring a korban of purification, of tahara, for his children who are minors, who are underage. So that shows you that a korban that is for the purpose of kapara, you don't need da'at, you don't need consent. And because banav ubnotav aktanim, they don't have da'at, and yet you can bring a korban on their behalf. So the Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, so if so, if that's the case, yavi adam hatat chelev al chavero, then we should say a person should be able to bring a korban chatat on behalf of another person who unwittingly ate chelev, forbidden fat, without his knowledge. He has to bring a korban chatat. A person should be able to do so. Sheken adam mevi al ishto shota, ke Rabbi Yehuda. Just as we see that a person can bring a korban for his wife who's a shota, who doesn't have a mind, who's an imbecile, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person can bring a korban for his wife who is a shota. So why don't we say that a person should be able to bring a chatat chelev for his friend? Alama amar Rabbi Lazar. So why did Rabbi Lazar say hifrish chatat chelev al chavero lo asaklum? That if one separated a korban for the chatat chelev of his friend who ate forbidden fat unwittingly, lo asaklum, he has done nothing. You can't designate a korban chatat chelev for your friend. He has to bring it. Why? Don't we see from the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that a person can bring a korban for his wife who is shota, that the korban does not require da'at? So you could bring it for your friend, even without his consent. What's the problem? So the Gemara is going to say there's not a comparison. You cannot compare the two cases. Ishto shota hechidame. What are the circumstances of the case where his wife is a shota? Ide achla keshi shota lav bat korbani. If she ate the chelev when she was a shota, well, then there's no issue of bringing a korban at all. She's not subject to the liability of bringing a korban. Halachically, she's not competent. Mimela, she's ptura from any punishment. She doesn't need any kapara. Ve'id achla keshi pikachat, and if we're talking about that she ate the chatat chelev when she was halachically competent in her mind, then ishtatet, and only afterwards she became a shota. Ha'amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Rabbi Yirmiya say in the name of Rabbi Abahu, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Achal Chelev. If a person ate Chelev, he ate forbidden fat, and he ate it b'shogeg, unwittingly, right? Ve'hifrish korban, and he separated a korban. Ve'nishtata, and then he became a shote, an imbecile. Ve'chazal ve'nishtapa. And then a while later, he became competent again. He got back his mind. Pasul. We say that the korban is disqualified. Why? Ho'il venidcha yidache. Since it was disqualified for the time that he became a shote, so it becomes disqualified forever. So now what do we see from here? That it cannot be when we see the statement before of Rabbi Yehuda that Adam evi al ishto shota, it cannot be talking about a korban chatat of chelev. Because korban chatat of chelev, if she ate the chelev when she was a shota, she's not chayav, a korban chatat. If she ate it when she was competent and then afterwards she became shota, well, the korban becomes disqualified. So there's no case where a husband can bring a korban chatat for ishto shota, a chatat chelev. Rather, what must it be talking about? It's talking only about the korban that he brings for his wife for purification process. That means when she gave birth. So there's a korban yoledet that she has to bring, right? Now, she can't bring it on her own, so her husband brings it for her. And as we said before, that korban is mechusar kapara. That korban does not require any da'at from the owner of the korban, any consent. That is brought even without the consent of the person. And therefore, there's no proof that we can bring from this case to the case of bringing a korban chatat on behalf of another person who ate chelev. So that's the answer to the question that the Gemara asked, Ela me'ata yavi adam chatat chelev al chavero. That a person should be able to bring a korban chatat of chelev for his friend. No, you can't. You cannot do that. You need the da'at of your friend. But to prove from Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you can bring for ishto shota, that's not a proof. That's talking about the korbanot that do not require da'at. That is different. So the Gemara continues to ask another question. Ela me'ata yavi adam pesach al chavero. If so, all right, How about we say a person can bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of another person without his consent, without his knowledge? Sheken Adam evi al banav ve al banotav haktanim. After all, a person brings a Korban Pesach for his children who are under bar mitzvah. So you see, you don't need that. Alama amar Rabbi Lazar, ifrish Pesach al chavero lo asa klum. So why did Rabbi Lazar say that one who designates a Korban Pesach on behalf of another person has done nothing? Why? You should be able to bring it on behalf of someone else, just like we see a father can bring it on behalf of his children who are still under age of bar mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Zera answers, Se levet avot lav deoraita. Meaning like this, from the words Se levet avot, a lamb for each father's house. We learn from there that there has to be what's called minui. All those who are going to fulfill their obligation with a certain Korban Pesach, they have to register, they have to be counted as part of the group that will be eating from that Korban Pesach. Now, the minui for the ktanim, to count the ktanim, the children who are under the age of bar mitzvah, that is lav deoraita. That's not a halakha, that's not an obligation from the Torah. From the Torah, it is only the adults that are obligated lehimanot, are obligated to be registered to that particular Korban Pesach. The ktanim do not require mideoraita to become nimnim, to be registered to the Korban Pesach, and that the shechita should be done on their behalf. And therefore, from the fact that a person can bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of his children, that's not a proof that you should be able to also bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of another person who's an adult without his da'at. No, an adult, you need their da'at. The ktanim, you don't need their da'at when it comes to Korban Pesach. Because se levet avot, that we learn to count the children as part of the Korban Pesach, that's lav midoraita, that's not part of the obligation of the Torah. So the Gemara wants to prove this halakha, that the obligation of ktanim to be registered for the Korban Pesach is not min haTorah. The Gemara wants to prove that. Umimai, from where do we know that? Miditnan, from that which we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet, Psachim and Dav Peitet, Haomer Levanav, one who says to his children who are underage, Hareni shochetet haPesach al mishi ale mikem rishon Yerushalayim. I am hereby slaughtering the Korban Pesach on behalf of the one of you who will come first to Yerushalayim. Whoever reaches Yerushalayim first, I am slaughtering it on your behalf, and he will be privileged to eat from the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Kevan sheichnis rishon rosho verubo, zacha bechelko, umzake et echavimo. The halacha is that once the first one enters into Yerushalayim with his head and most of his body, the moment his head and most of his body enters into Yerushalayim, he acquires, zacha bechelko, he acquires his portion of the Korban Pesach, umzake et echavimo, and he acquires portions of the Korban Pesach on behalf of his brothers with him. So the Gemara is asking, Ve'i amar tse levet, levet deoraita, if you were to say that the halakha that we learned from tse levet avot, that you need minui, is a din deoraita, which means that all ktanim would be obligated to register for the Korban Pesach, so then, al bisra ka'e umzakelehu, which literally means, he's standing over meat, and he's acquiring it for them? How could that be? In order to be memune, in order to be registered kahalacha for the Korban Pesach, it has to be done before the shechita. The minui, the registration, has to be done before the shechita of the Korban, not after it became meat, and he was zoche in a portion of meat. So how are we able to say here in the Mishnah that he is mezakeh to the other brothers? How is he mezakeh to the other brothers? It's too late. He himself, he's zocheh because that was the stipulation of his father. Since he reached Yerushalayim first, okay, so he gets his portion. But how can he then be mezakeh, acquire other portions of the Korban Pesach for his brothers? But they were not nimneh, they were not registered before the shechita. What, now that it's meat, he acquires it to them? That's too late. He cannot do that. They cannot be nimneh. Yeah, but that's only if you say that the obligation to be nimneh is midoraita. Ela vaday, what do we see from here? From the fact that the Mishnah says that he could acquire a portion of the Korban Pesach to his brothers, that shows that the chiyuv of registration of minui by the ktanim is lav mideoraita. Ktanim are not required by the law of the Torah to register as members of the group who are eating the Korban Pesach. So that's the proof to what Rabbi Zera said. So the Gemara asks, Ela lama lehu de'amar lehon avuhon? So why is it that they require that their father should say to them that the one of you who will come to Yerushalayim first will be privileged to eat from the Korban Pesach? If no actual acquisition takes place, if it's not even necessary, as we're saying, so why is it that the father is saying to them, okay, I am only slaughtering the Korban Pesach on behalf of the one who comes first? But for the children, you don't need to slaughter on their behalf. They could eat even without being registered. So why is he telling that to, why would the father tell that to his children at all? For what purpose? The Gemara says, "Kedei lezarezan b'mitzvot." That is in order to motivate them in the performance of mitzvot. Tanya nami hachi. And we learned like that in a braita. On that Mishnah, there is a braita. Ma'aseh haya v'kadmu banot labanim. There was a case like that where a father said to his sons and daughters that they should compete to see who reaches the, you know, Yerushalayim, who reaches the Korban Pesach first. And it just so happened, the daughters came first before the sons. Venimtzeu banot zrizot ubanim shfelim. And it was found out that the daughters were more motivated, they were more diligent, they were more zariz, and the sons were shfelim. Shfelim here in this context mean they were lazy. So we see, since the Braita does not say that the result was that the daughters are the only ones who acquired their portion, it doesn't say that. That means the sons also had their portion. So what was the statement? What was the purpose of their father's statement? It was only motivational. It was to motivate them to be zariz, to be energized towards fulfilling the mitzvah. Now we go back to the Mishnah. V'torem et trumato. We learned in the Mishnah that among the things that a person could perform for someone who is a mudar hana'a is torem trumato. He can separate his truma for him. The madir can take off truma off of the produce of the mudar on behalf of the mudar, and that's fine. Ibaya lehu. So the Gemara begins on top of Lamed Vav Amud Bet with a question. They had a doubt. The Chachamim in the Yeshiva had a doubt. Hatorem mishelo al shel chavero. In a case where one separates Truma from his own produce on behalf of the produce of another person. Tzarich da'ato olo. Does he require the knowledge and consent of the owner of the other produce or not? And the Gemara explains the question. Mi amrinan, do we say, kevan dizchut hu lo, since this is a benefit for the owner of the produce? I mean, after all, he is gaining that he doesn't have to take off truma of his own. So since it's a zichut for him, lo tzarich dat, do we say you don't need his consent? Because when, as we know, zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, when it comes to causing a benefit for someone, you can do it for him, even without his consent. Or do we say, since the separation of Tumah is a mitzvah dilehi, it's his mitzvah, and he wants to do his own mitzvah from his own produce. So taking off Tumah from your produce to fix his produce on behalf of him, maybe he's not happy with that, and therefore you would need his consent, and you cannot do it, shelo midato. So the Gemara tries to answer this question from our Mishnah. Tashema, come in here. What does our Mishnah say? That the Madir can be Torem et Trumotav et Maasrotav leda'ato. The Madir can take off Truma and Maasrot of the Mudar leda'ato, with his consent. So now, b'may askinan, what is the Mishnah talking about here? What are the circumstances? Ilema min ba'ala keri, al shel ba'ala keri. If the Mishnah here is talking about a case where the madir is going over to the produce of the owner of the pile of produce, right? The owner of the produce. He takes from his fruit, and he takes off turma and masot from his fruit, of the mudar. Meaning, the madir did not take off from his own. The madir went to the pile of produce of the mudar. He took off turma to masot from the belonging to the mudar for the purpose of the mudar. So then, uledaato deman. If that's the case, what does it say in the Mishnah? He has to do. He can do it with his consent. What consent? If we're talking about the consent of the person who is torem, of the madir, of the one who's taking off the turma on behalf of the mudar, man shavi shaliach, who made him a shaliach? Who appointed him? The owner of the produce did not appoint him to become a shaliach. So how could he take off turmot for him? Rather, you must say, no, it was the Mishnah means leda'ato, with the consent of the Baal HaKeri, of the owner of the food. Well, then the question is, how could the Madil take off Turma for the purpose of the Mudal? But he's benefiting the Mudal because he's doing his Shlichut. He's doing what he's doing something on his behalf. That's a Shlichut for him. That's his agent. He's performing an agency for him. Ela, rather you must say that the Mishnah is talking about Mishelo, that the Madir is taking off fruits from his own produce, Al Shel HaKeri, on behalf of the fruits of the Baal HaKeri, of the Mudar. Uleda'ato Deman, and what does it mean, Leda'ato? Whose consent are we talking about? Ilem Leda'ato de Baal HaKeri, if we're talking about with the consent of the Baal HaKeri, well then once again, Hakamehanele, he's benefiting him. Because the Madir is doing the Shlichut of the Mudar. How could he do it? That's a violation of the Neder. El alav ledate denafshe. Must be, we're talking, that he's doing it on his own consent. The Torem did not ask the Madir, who is taking off the Turma from his own fruits, on behalf of the fruits of the Mudar, did not ask any permission from the Mudar. Right? Ledate denafshe, he's doing it on his own. Umishelo torem al shel chavero. And he's taking from his own fruits for the purpose of remedying, of fixing the fruits of his friend as well. Ve'i amat tzarich da'at. So now, that is exactly our question. Our question was, when you are taking off fruits as tuma for your friend, from your own produce, you're taking off tuma on behalf of your friend as well. So we ask, do you need his permission? Or not. So, I amar tzarich da'at, if you say that he does need da'at, that you do need his consent, we're back to the question, hakamehanele, how could the madir do it for the mudar? He's once again, since he's doing it with his consent, so he's doing it as his shaliach. He's fulfilling his shlichut, that's a hana'a. El alav en tzarich da'at. So you must say, from our Mishnah there's proof, that you don't need his consent. So you didn't even ask him for his permission. So you're not acting as his shaliach. That's why even though he's mudarana from you, you are allowed to do it. So what do we see? We see that if a person is torem, mishelo al shel chavero, when you take off truma from your own fruits for the benefit of someone else's fruits, you don't need his dad, you don't need his consent. Because if you would need his consent, then you're acting as his shaliach. If you're acting as his shaliach, how could the madir do that for the mudar? That's a hana'a. So you see, you don't need his consent. However, the Gemara pushes off this proof. Le'olam, really, we can explain that our Mishnah is talking about Mishel Baal HaKeri al Baal HaKeri. That the person is taking off, the Madir is taking off Truma from the fruits of the Mudar to fix the fruits of the Mudar. So the question was, then we have to surely say that he got his consent, right? That he did it Mida'ato. So if that's the case, how could that be? He's mudar hana'a from him. He's doing his shlichut. If he's doing his shlichut, he's giving him hana'a. So how could that be? How can we explain the Mishnah that way? Kede'ama Rava. As Rava said elsewhere, Be'omer kol ha'rotze litrom yavo v'itrom. In a case where the mudar hana'a stood up next to his fruits, and he said, anyone who wants to take off truma from my pile here, for my behalf, should come and do so. In other words, he didn't appoint him as a shaliach. He didn't go to him and say, can you do it for me? Or the person didn't ask, let me do it for you. No, the person was speaking to the heir. And he said, anyone who wants to come and take off turma from my stack of, from my pile of produce, let him do so. Oh, so he didn't appoint anyone a shaliach. Hachanami be'omer, so we can explain our Mishnah also. It's talking about where this person, the owner of the fruits, said, kol ha'rotze litrom, yavo v'itrom. So that helps regarding Tuma, because after all, you do have his consent. I mean, he's openly saying that he wants it to be done, right? So therefore, you could say that you really need the consent of someone when you're taking off Tumah for someone else. However, it's not a problem of Nedarim. It's not a violation of the Neder because he didn't appoint you as a Shaliach openly, and therefore it's not considered Hana'a. Now the Gemara gives us another question regarding Tumah from one person's fruits for the purpose of someone else's. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question from Rabbi Zera. In a case of Hatore Mishelo al Shel Chavero, where a person separates Tumah from his own produce to fix the produce of someone else's, for the benefit of someone else's produce. So now the question is, Tovat Hana'a Shel Mi? The entitlement of the discretionary benefit, Tovat Hana'a means the benefit of the of having the right to give this Tumah to any Kohen of your choosing. Let's say Reuven takes off Tumah from his fruits for the purpose of Shimon. So now, who gets to pick which Kohen gets the Tumah? Does Reuven get to pick or Shimon? And the Gemara explains the question. Mi amrinan, do we say, after all, ilav pere dehach, if it wasn't for the fruits of Reuven, mi mitakna karya dehahu, would the pile of Shimon become metukan, become fixed, become tithed? I mean, after all, it's Reuven's fruits that fixed the pile of Shimon and changed it from Tevel into Chulin, right? So Reuven should get the benefit of Tovat Hana'a to choose which Kohen to give it to. Or Dilma, or do we say, no, the other way perhaps, Ilav Karya Dehahu, if not for the pile of Shimon, Lo Havyan Pere Dehaden Tuma, the produce of Reuven that he separated would not be Tuma. It only gets the status of Tumah because of the pile of Reuven. Because of the pile of Shimon. So maybe Shimon should be entitled to the Tovat Hana'a of choosing which Kohen. Amar le, so Rabbi Zera answered Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar kra, the Pasuk says, regarding Ma'asrot, Aser Taser, et kol tevuat zar'echa, and then it says venatata, take off the tevuat from the produce of your seed, and then venatata, and you should give it to the Kohen. What does this indicate? That the Tovat Hana'a, the right to choose which Kohen gets it, is that it belongs to the one to whom the pile of the produce belongs. So although Reuven is taking off Tumah from his pile on behalf of the other person, but if it wasn't for the other person's pile, this would not be considered Tumah. So we go by who owns the pile that gives the status of Tumah, and that would be Shimon in this case. Etive, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question to Rabbi Zera's, on Rabbi Zera's answer from our Mishnah. What does it state in our Mishnah? Torem et trumotav ve'et ma'asrotav le'da'ato. The one who made the neder, the madir, can take off trumotu ma'asrot of the mudar le'da'ato, with his consent, with his mind, the mind of the Torem, which means when he takes off from his own fruit for the benefit of his friend, so he doesn't need to ask consent from his friend, rather he's doing it le'da'ato on his own mind. So now the question is, according to you, Rabbi Zera, you that you say that the Tovat Hana'a, the discretion of who, which Kohen to choose to give it to, belongs to the Baal HaKeri, to the owner of the pile, so how could it be that the Madir will take off Tumah for the purpose of the Mudar? Hakamehanele. But by taking off Tumot for his behalf, he's giving him the Hana'a. You know what Hana'a you're giving him? You're giving him the power to choose which Kohen gets it. That's a Hana'a, that he gets to choose the Kohen of his liking. The Kohen who's his friend, or his relative, or whatever it may be. So you're giving him a Hana'a. You're the one who's taking off Tumah, and yet he's going to have the Tovat Hana'a to choose which Kohen to give it to. So you, the Madir, you gave your friend, the Mudar, a pleasure, and that's a pleasure that's in violation of the Neder. Ela shma amina Tovat Hana'a dile. So must be from the fact that our Mishnah says that you are allowed to do it, must be the Tovat Hana'a, the right to choose which Kohen gets it, belongs to the person who took off the Tumah, not to the Baal HaKeri, not to the owner of the pile. Answers the Gemara, Amri lo. Mishel ba'al ha'keri al shel ba'al ha'keri. The case of the Mishnah is not talking about where Reuven took off truma of his on behalf of the pile of Shimon. No. It's talking about where Reuven the Madil took off truma from the pile of Shimon for the purpose of Shimon. So when it said le'da'ato u'le'da'ato de balakri, with the consent of the balakri. Now why is he not considered his shaliach if it was with his consent? And that would be a violation of the neder as well. Be'omer kol ha'rotze litrom yavo v'yitrom. As we answered before, it's not talking about where he appointed him explicitly to be his shaliach. He said in the air, in general, he said, anyone who wants to come and take off tumah from my pile on my behalf is free to do so. Oh, so he's not really his shaliach, therefore he's not in violation of the neder. And therefore we don't have any proof from our Mishnah regarding the halakha of when Reuven takes off truma on behalf of Shimon's produce, who gets the tovat hana'ah. Tashema, come in here, an answer to this question of who gets the tovat hana'ah, the right to choose which coin gets it, come in here from a different source to answer the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abahu said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, this is talking about in a case where a person is magdish an animal, he consecrates an animal as a korban for another person, and then it becomes a balmum, it becomes blemished. So ha-magdish mosif chomish. Only the one who was magdish, who consecrates the animal, he adds a chomish, one-fifth to the cost of redeeming the animal. And the one who is seeking the kapara through this korban, he does not add the chomish when he redeems the animal. So hamagdish mosiv chomish, umitkaper oset teruma. And the one who is seeking the kapara, since the body of the animal actually belongs to him, so the one who is seeking the kapara through the korban, only he can make tmura. Only he can do temura. Tmura means to replace an animal that is consecrated, that is hukdash, to exchange it with an animal that is not hukdash. To change to over the kedusha from an animal that is hegdash onto an animal that is not hegdash. That only the mitkapir can do. So the makdish, the one who consecrates it on behalf of the other person, so if he wants to redeem the animal after the animal receives a blemish, he adds the chomish. It's the makdish who adds the fifth to the cost of the redemption of the animal. But it's the mitkaper, it's the one who actually owns the korban, the one who is seeking the atonement through the korban, he is the one that can make temura. And what is another halakha that Rabbi Yochanan says? Ve'atoreh mishelo al sheino shelo, tovat hana'ah shelo. The one who separates, if Reuven separates truma from his own produce for the benefit of someone else's produce, the tovat hana'ah belongs to him, the one who took off the truma, not the one who is the owner of the pile, as we said before. We'll stop here for today, and we'll continue from here, Bezat Hashem, tomorrow.